The story goes that St. Teresa of Avila was on a journey from one convent to another, and it was a miserable, rainy day, muddy, just terrible. And supposedly, she said, and some of you probably have heard this before, supposedly she said, "Lord, if this is how you treat your friends, no wonder you don't have many." I feel like that all the time. You know, I think, "Lord, what are you doing?" Now, I know that the Lord is taking care of all the big stuff, so forth and so on. I know he didn't come to make our lives easier. He came to make us holy people so that we could be on fire with our faith and do what we're called to do. But let's face it, it's our feelings that can get in the way and kind of push away the truth. And Jesus had to deal with that too. He had friends, he had people he loved. Lazarus died, he wept. So as a human being, he understood this kind of, "Geez, Lord, why are you doing that to me?" And yet, again, we believe that no matter what is happening to us, God is in it, and he wants to bring great good out of it, not just for us, but for everyone. And the paradox that we hear today from Galatians, from Paul, and it really seems a paradox. Maybe back then it wasn't quite as big a one, but today I think it's a huge paradox. Paul says Jesus came for freedom, so we could be free, really free. Now, free in what way? Free from fear, free from anxiety, free from whatever it is that hooks us, that enslaves us, so that at a moment's notice, we're not saying, "Geez, I should be doing this or that," but nope, "Lord, you're calling me, I'm free to do it." Do we have that freedom? Do we have the freedom of the early church members, especially those that we read about in the Acts of the Apostles, that were so on fire with the faith, so convinced of God's love, that they sold their homes and gave the money to the apostles to share with people who needed it? Are we that free? I'm not. I want to be that free. And that's the paradox. The freedom that God wants for us paradoxically seems intimidating, something fearsome, because it literally means we have to let go of all the stuff we take comfort in. And it's not that it's bad, but if it enslaves us, if it makes us slothful, lazy, or we think, "Well, what about me? What about me? What about me?" as opposed to, "What about all these other people I'm supposed to serve?" then it's an enslavement in our lives that we're called to let go of. So again, God wants us to be free, and I absolutely am convinced that the freest people are the ones who can see God working more easily in the world and attend to the needs of others. Now, again, it doesn't mean it's easy. I think of Dorothy Day. Her autobiography was called The Long Loneliness. Now, here's a woman who will probably be a saint someday. She served the poor. She slept wherever she found a place to sleep. And yet she was truly free. Truly free because her faith was in Jesus Christ. And Jesus is demanding. Let's face it, he's demanding. We look at the first reading with Elijah and Elisha. And then we look at what Jesus says in basically the same context. So Elijah comes along, throws his cloak on Elisha, and Elisha goes, "Oh, wait. Let me go say goodbye to my family." Because he knows that Elijah is calling him to be his successor. And what does Elijah do? He says, "Don't look back. You just follow me." He does it. He says, "Go ahead. Go ahead." He goes, he slaughters the oxen, he uses that to feed the family, and then he follows Elijah. So he had a chance to go back and say goodbye. In the gospel today, Jesus says, you can't go back. You can't go back and say goodbye. You got to come right now. Again, there's real freedom. And it's frightening, isn't it? You think it's a little bit frightening? I think it is. And yet, what do we do in those situations? Well, that's where the Christian community comes in, because we should not be afraid or anxious, because we know all our brothers and sisters are there who are going to catch us if we fall. And if that's not happening, then we have to look at our Christian community and say, are we really living up to the call that Christ has given us. Jesus says, don't even look behind. I remember my first pastor used to tell of plowing a field when he was growing up. And his father would say, you just keep your eye on that tree and you just go straight. Well, being a young man, he kept looking behind to see what was behind him. So when he got to the end of the field and he looked back, what did he see? Right? So, you know, in our practical lives, day to day, we see the reality of what God's saying. We hear it in the scriptures. And this day and age in particular, it's difficult to, I guess, get our energy up when we see all this animosity, hatred, evil in the world. I received a message on our emergency phone yesterday. I wasn't there to receive it, but it was filthy, violent, horrible. It's about abortion and priests abusing children. This guy was angry. And this is what's in the world. Now, I'm sure this guy's been wounded, and I pray for his healing and all that, but that's the world we face. Now, what are we going to do? Are we going to exercise our freedom and say, I really don't care what happens to me. I'm going to go out and do what I'm supposed to do. I'll go out and protest. I'll bring a pregnant woman home and watch after her. I will volunteer more at a food cupboard. Do we do that, or do we kind of get into our own little cocoon? Because it's comfortable. It's comfortable. We know that. And we want to be comfortable. And even Dorothy Day said, everybody's got to have a certain amount of possessions to help us be rooted and comfortable. So she's not even saying, you know, get rid of everything. But there's the challenge. If we want to be on fire with the gospel and use that fire, we have got to be going out again and again, regardless of what we're going to confront, whatever's going to confront us, whatever evil is out there, whatever hatred is out there. But know that it's not so much we're going to save people, but we're going to give witness to the Savior. We're going to bring Jesus into the world. He is the light, and he has consecrated us through baptism to be his children and his light bearers. We are the body of Christ. We are his hands and his feet. We are his mouth. So it's not a question of becoming worthy to do that. God's already designated us as his partners, so we just have to go out. And Jesus, again, very practically, he didn't send out the apostles and the disciples one by one. He sent them out two by two. Wow, that makes sense. It's much easier when you're walking with someone else, and maybe this person has, let's say, the gift of gab. So they're going to be able to get into a conversation easily. Well, the other person's going to be kind of listening, but praying while that other person engages the other. And that's what Christian community is supposed to be about. That's what we're supposed to be. But I think, again, because we're such a rich nation and we have so much, that we have given over our freedom to things, to stuff, to activities that get in the way of our desire, our ability, our willingness to drop everything and serve other people. And Jesus says, go out into the whole world and proclaim the gospel. He didn't say, build churches, go back to your home. Not that those are bad things, but he said, go out, go out, go out, go out, go out. And we have to revitalize our church in that way, like the early church that did exactly that. And we can do it. We can do it because we have all these wonderful gifts from God. We have the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And, you know, I've talked about that before. And I said, isn't there somebody in this congregation that has the gift of physical healing? Well, there may be somebody. But if we don't talk about that and examine it and work at it, it's not going to happen. So the stakes are very high. And again, you look at the world today. And I say this all the time, I'm glad I'm not a child today growing up in it. I would be so afraid. Well, maybe not. My mother was stubborn, I'm stubborn. But it does induce fear, anxiety. Depression is off the scale around our country. And here we are, the richest country in the world with all these things and resources, and yet we're acting like fearful, enslaved people who don't know what the truth is or don't know what we're supposed to be doing, when in fact the Bible tells us, do this, do that. What are you good at? Follow through on it. Get a partner to do it. Get together at the end of your service and pray together. Bring in other people into the group. Yeah, that's what the church is supposed to be doing, what we're supposed to be doing, gathering people so that we grow and grow and grow in working with one another, helping one another to be strong in our faith. So, yes, we do say to God, God, you know, why me? Why does this have to happen? So forth and so on. But as one evangelical pastor put it, he said, because he went through a huge depression, he said, I had to learn that I am not a victim. I had to learn that I'm a victor. I'm not a victim. I am a victor through Jesus Christ. And that's the truth. We are victors. We are victorious. Jesus has already won the war. We don't have to do that. All we have to do is in our little ways, through our giftedness, bring Christ into the world. Even a smile goes a long way when it comes from our heart and our desire to show Jesus to the world. So again, let me remind you, every one of us has been authorized by God to represent him in the world. Every one of us has been given gifts, many gifts, to take into the world, to stir things up, to help people, to claim people's attention, to change their lives. We don't have to wait for any of that. And we are all worthy. Not because we make ourselves worthy, but because God makes us worthy, beginning with baptism and through the reception of the sacraments. So we really have no excuses. No excuses not to go out and thrive and really flourish and to surprise ourselves. And I think that's God, the Father, who is a loving God, who looks upon us as our children and says, go on. Go on, try it. I'm with you. Let's see what happens. Just like a good father, as his child is learning how to walk, is helping that child. That's God the Father. He's there for us, walking with us, always enjoying what we do in his name, even thanking us. Can you imagine God thanking us for doing what we're called to do? But that's God. So if we keep that vision of God, we look at the Bible, we look at the teachings that God has given us, we know what to do. But again, it comes down to each and every one of us to maybe grab another person, say, you know, I need to do something different in my life. I need to get off of my easy chair and into the world. Or I don't even know my neighbor. What would it be like if I went over to my neighbor and brought them some brownies and introduced myself? Wow. Little things like that will grow into bigger things. And so again, we have power beyond belief. Nuclear power is nothing compared to the power of the Holy Spirit, and we have the Holy Spirit. So, last recommendation in the morning, to say, God, you're in charge, you're in control. To say, Lord, I don't have to be afraid. I don't want to be afraid. I want to put my trust in you. And I want to be free, Lord. I truly want to be free. So help me each day to decide on little baby steps on how I'm going to grab that freedom that you have in store for me, that you've already offered to me, so that I can freely give myself, as your son did, to the world, as a sacrifice, as a sign of the Father's great love for the world. So I can do that too, because Jesus is our model. We follow in his footsteps, we will be doing what he did, and Jesus said this, we'll be doing what he did and greater things. So sky's the limit. So again, as always, as you go forth today, keep remembering the reality, the truth of our faith, that nothing is impossible with God. That comes from the Bible. I didn't invent it. Nothing is impossible with God. So let's do it. Let's show ourselves, let's show God, let's show the world the love and the glory of God, the desire God has for every human being to come into his presence, to be his children, and to really be on fire with the truth that Jesus Christ is the way, the truth, and the life.